Storms are coming. This is a theme that has been on my mind not only for the past few weeks, but if I think and reflect, perhaps even for the past few years. It seems to me that more and more the society that we are a part of has become rather binary. There only seem to be two options when we get together to debate and discuss. And I sometimes feel that we have lost the ability to compromise and work together. We don't even listen to the other side to try to understand a different perspective. It seems that a storm's a-coming. I look around and I read the paper. I turn on the news and I see storms everywhere. Some of them have been raging for years and others are newer. And of course, there are other storms that we haven't even seen yet. Our neighbors south of the border are separating children from parents when they cross the border from Mexico. Yes. They cross illegally. Immigration is a hot topic south of the border, but separating families of people fleeing violence and hoping for something better, well, it just seems wrong. About a year ago, people were fleeing the United States and they were coming to Canada and they crossed the border illegally. We didn't separate any families because that's wrong. A storm is raging. 2 years ago, about 2 years ago, our congregation got involved in refugee sponsorship. Members of our congregation worked with a family from Syria, and actually there was a video that was produced and put out that featured the family that we worked with, and John and Maggie was in the video. Jacqueline, were you in the video too? No, John, Maggie, and Janet from our church were in that video featuring the work that they did with this family about their hopes and dreams. It's on our Facebook site, and I encourage you to watch. It's about 3 minutes. But our efforts in this initiative, they're ongoing. We joined a group with 10 or 11 other churches to sponsor 7 families. And the family in this video is the second family. Well, one of the other families arrived a couple of weeks ago, and 2 more families are arriving in the next months, as long as everything goes according to plan. And that's exciting, because one of the families that's coming is the brother of the mother, right? That we were closely connected with. And so that's really exciting for this family, a reunification here in Canada. And so we're prayerful for that. But our efforts and our reason for getting involved in refugee sponsorship, particularly refugees from Syria, was because there was a war going on in Syria. And of course, the war had been going on for about 3 years when everyone decided that maybe we should be sponsoring people. And you might not hear about it much in the news anymore, but that war is still being fought. Chemical weapons have been used against civilians and all involved point fingers at the other. But when was the last time you heard about the war in Syria? A storm is raging. Our community of Coburg and Port Hope is experiencing a crisis of homelessness and affordable housing. And I know you've heard me say that before. Our vacancy rate is low at 0.03%. Healthy is 0.3. That means 3 out of every 1,000 units are available. The only shelter in Northumberland County that accepts men, women, and children, or families, well, it closed in December, a handful of days before Christmas. 6 months later, and there is no indication of it reopening. An apartment fire in Port Hope has rendered countless additional people homeless, the majority of which are still living in a hotel a month later because there's no apartments to rent. The system which supports these social services was already overloaded, and now it nears bursting. Those affected by homelessness are suffering, and those that are trying to care for them are approaching burnout. A storm is raging. There are two ways that our gospel lesson this morning can speak to us on these and other issues. We can see Jesus asleep in the boat and cry out that God doesn't care. We hear that from people outside of the faith community, that God doesn't care. Because if God did care, surely God would do something about it. That's one way we could consider our gospel lesson. I don't think it's a very helpful way. And I don't even believe that it's even remotely close to the truth of the matter. Or we can consider the words Jesus utters after the disciples wake him up. Be quiet and be still. Jesus doesn't say these words to the disciples. He says these words to the wind and to the sea. In other words, Jesus commands the storm. And I wonder what these words mean to us today. Be quiet and be still. Jesus calms the storm. When I was studying at Knox College, one of my good friends there that I met was Tim Reddish. Tim graduated a year after me, and he is now the Reverend Dr. Tim Reddish. And you might be wondering, Neil, you don't have your doctorate yet. How did he get his doctorate so quick if he graduated after you? Well, Tim started with a doctorate in physics. Of all things. His area of focus and research had something to do with the way that light bends, and that's as far as I'm going to go with it. He taught at the University of Windsor before leaving his position there to study theology and become an ordained minister in our denomination. Physicists are interested in energy and how it works, and I always recall how Tim marveled about this story in Scripture and the amount of energy it must have taken to calm those waters. You and I know that it's nigh impossible to stop the waves. Short of containing water in a container, it is impossible to stop its motion of our own doing. And the gospel tells us that it was quite a storm. And what we need to realize is that many of the disciples who were on that boat, who were terrified, they're fishermen. They're used to being out on a boat. They know how to handle a boat, and they've probably seen their fair share of storms. So if they are terrified, and if they believe that this is the end, we should believe them. This was one heck of a storm. And I wonder, as Jesus faces the storm, did he calm it or overpower it? And how we might answer that question perhaps speaks to our understanding and our theology of God. And it's interesting to note that the word that was used here for silence can also be translated as peace. And in the hymn that we just sung, that's what's mentioned, peace. And so Jesus calms the storm. just as he is a calming and guiding presence in our own lives. And I wonder, what storms rage in our own lives which we need to surrender to Jesus? But back to that boat. Those disciples, they thought they were going to die. And they couldn't understand how Jesus, or anyone for that matter, could sleep through such a violent storm. And we should remember that there were crowds following Jesus. There are other boats on the water. The disciples think they are going to die, and Jesus leads them to an outcome that they were not expecting. Just as Jesus leads us to outcomes that we are not expecting or anticipating. And with fear in their hearts, the disciples ask, "Who is this?" And that's a really good question. Friends, this passage is all about the rubber hitting the road. What the disciples and the others experienced that day was nothing short of the kingdom of God at work. You'll remember the scripture reading from last week was about scattering seeds and how the little mustard seed grows into such a large plant. Well, friends, it is one thing to talk about the kingdom, and it is another thing altogether to experience it. For you see, the kingdom of God is not for the faint of heart. Carolyn Lewis writes that the sooner that we realize the truth, the better. And while Jesus is always in that spiritual ship with us, the sea tale reminds us that the storms that rage against God's will, God's vision, God's love, God's kingdom are ever present, most certainly real, and unnervingly unpredictable. Yes, Jesus is there. This is most certainly true. But more so, be ready, be vigilant, be resilient, because you just never know. You just never know when that which rages against God's reign will rear its ugly head. And so it's no random parable that precedes this predicament on the sea, because every parable prepares the disciples, prepares us for what is to come next. The sea crossing is the very space and place that we need to think about, to ponder, to experience the truths of God's kingdom. And so it's no wonder Jesus sleeps. He is waiting for us to come to grips with the storms that rage in our own lives, the storms that rage within our society, the storms which rage across the globe. There is a cartoon I've seen, and perhaps you've seen it as well. Jesus and a young man are sitting on a park bench. And the young man says to Jesus, "Why do you allow war, famine, disease, poverty, and all these other terrible things to happen?" To which Jesus replies, "Why do you allow all these things to happen?" We are on the boat. We are transitioning from learning about the kingdom to putting that knowledge to work. Because the storms that are raging against God's will are real, and we are needed out in God's kingdom. Amen.